Good Saturday morning. Welcome into the weekend kickoff. Saturday morning's ESPN Radio 1100 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, I'm Ballpark Frank. Big T Terrence off this week. Yeah, maybe is he going to Canton? What's he doing? Is he going there for that Hall of Shame induction? Oh, wait, that'd be the photo exhibit.
Ouch. He might be in Rio. It's tough to tell. But
just remember to bring the off.
bring a lot of things.
The official bug spray of the Rio Olympics.
You should just bring one of those bubble boy suits down there. That's what they should have.
The bubble boy suit.
Wow. That's what you should do down there.
Okay. Well, you need one of those total body condoms if you're going swimming.
You need a lot of protection if you go down to Brazil.
Hazmat suits, is that what they call now?
Anyone pay attention to the opening games or the opening ceremonies? I did not get a chance to. I've told you Friday nights I'm stuck in front of the TV. I watched that Outkast show on Cinemax. I don't know if you've watched that. It's got me hooked. And now, unfortunately, I am hooked on a Netflix show. You guys, anyone seen The Stranger Things?
That looks just too weird to me.
It is amazing. It's like I'm transported back to 1985 and I'm watching Stephen King and Steven Spielberg put something to collaborate. It's that type of show. If you have not seen it, seriously,
just too weird.
You got to see it. I miss the ceremonies because I'm knee deep in that right now. I'm a little busy.
Okay. I didn't see the ceremonies, but I didn't miss them. Plus, I never understand, how do you have opening ceremonies 2 days after the competition's already opened and started?
It's always how it is.
I know.
It starts the day before, and then all of a sudden it's like this whole big thing, and you're like, wait, the game's already started. Why are we having the opening ceremonies?
By the way, I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but you said that TV show reminded you of 1985. I was actually at the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles. So,
really?
Yes.
What was that experience
like
for you?
It was absolutely incredible. Maybe the best 2 weeks of my life.
You went for the whole 2 weeks?
Oh, me and my best friend, we bought tickets like 7-8 months in advance at Ticketron back in Chicago. You bought a venue, you had no idea who or what you were going to see, but you knew you were seeing track and field on this day, volleyball on this day, whatever. We went there the entire 2 weeks. We rented the cheapest car available. But they upgraded us to a Buick Century Olympic Edition because when the Russians boycotted, they had so many of them that we didn't know what was going on. We saw soccer at the Rose Bowl. We saw the Team USA play basketball at the Fabulous Forum. We saw field hockey at East LA College. We saw everything. Fencing down
so
in Long Beach.
You didn't see Carl Lewis. Did you boo Carl Lewis for not going for the record?
Would you wait a second and let me tell you? I know we actually did see Carl Lewis. In fact, we saw him long jump in one of the preliminary days, and then he stop doing it. No, I didn't boo him because it was the right decision to do. He had a bunch of heats to run. He wanted to win 4 gold medals. He wanted to do what Jesse Owens did in Berlin. Why do you boo the United States at the U.S. Olympics? What are you, stupid?
No, this,
they do.
You know, we're talking.
Did they not?
We're talking about Armando, the guy who jumps.
I'm just speaking the truth, jumps, whether you guys like it or not.
There were some idiots that booed. You're absolutely right.
But we actually saw
Joan Benoit win the when she got her gold medal for the marathon that day. Saw Edwin Moses win the 400-meter hurdles.
The guy who
ran all the time, and of course beat Skeet's Nehemiah so much that he finally decided to play football for the 49ers, one of Armando's former teams.
That was embarrassing.
That's why I'm figuring he'd be the type of guy to boo, you know, because he has no affiliation whatsoever.
I did not boo on TV at home. I was not booing.
No affiliation with this guy whatsoever. But Frank, I got to ask you, when you were at the Olympics back in 84, how was the safety concerns? Did you have any of those while you were there?
Not even when we went to the L.A. Coliseum to watch the track and field events. The USC, the $100,000 a year school in the hood, it was still fine. There was no problems whatsoever. If there was one sketchy place, it was probably East L.A. where that college.
I didn't really know about East L.A. that much.
That was actually a funny thing, too, because we go to East Los Angeles. We're like, oh, we get to see the United States play field hockey. We got lucky here. They're playing India. Well, we should probably do okay against them. Little did we know in 84 that India hadn't lost in like 23 years and the U.S. only had a team represented because we were the host nation.
No one plays field hockey here.
They were down like 32-0 or something like that at the half, and we're like, well, we can probably get out of here.
Well, before we actually get any further in this, we do have a guest in studio today, and I would like to introduce her right now. Joining us from the Review Journal, Miss Heidi Fang. How you doing, Mrs. Heidi Fang?
I'm Mrs. Heidi Fang Devine. I'm going to put that out on air.
Oh. Yeah. My wife is joining us on the show today, and we want to talk a little MMA in a little bit, but I wanted to get into, we were talking about the Olympics, and did you guys hear the story about the apparent Lee, it was a Russian consulate. I'm hearing now that Russia is denying it, but they've been denying a lot of things in the last couple
Russia
of months.
Russia is denying something? Not in my lifetime.
Go figure.
I'm blown away by this, but they're denying that it was a diplomat. But apparently a Russian diplomat was in his car and a carjacking was attempted. And somebody broke through his window with a gun. Well, apparently said Russian diplomat or just regular Russian athlete or whoever it was a fine practitioner in the art of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And things did not go well for said robber, and robber is now dead. So, this is just, Frank, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about what the safety and what the situation was down in Brazil, and you were telling us that they actually had police saying signs with, "Welcome to hell. We can't protect you."
You can actually Google that. The police department, about 300 strong, at the airport coming into Rio.
It's a hell of an arrival, right?
Not just signs, but gigantic banners held by like 6 different people. That's how long they were saying, "Welcome to hell. We cannot protect you down here." Reports are that the police departments haven't been paid in 5 to 6 months. They don't have toilet papers for the police officers, let alone the inmates in the jails down there.
Well, they're planning on putting bidets in, that's why.
Yeah,
it's just a little late.
Or if you can't make it to the bidet, just go to the bay, because that's where all the feces and the body parts are floating around.
I feel bad for so many of these athletes.
It's absolutely crazy down there. Did you guys hear the story about the Australian team?
No, I did not.
The Australian team, the other night, they're in Rio in the Olympic Village, where it's supposed to be the safest of all places. The fire alarm goes off. Well, the fire alarm goes off, so they go out because we got to get out of the hotel. There's a fire in the building. They're out for about 30 minutes, and then they get the all clear to come back. They find out the fire alarm was set off by employees of the hotel they were staying at. Reportedly somebody smoking, but they think now it might be an inside job. Over 30 of the Australian athletes, their rooms were they were basically broke into, and all their stuff was
ransacked,
stolen. They were ransacked while they were out on this fire alarm.
Wow.
This is in the Olympic Village. You know, the Team USA basketball team is staying on a yacht, a cruise of their own.
Smart.
Yeah, in the bay. Because they want no part of the Olympic Village or anything on land there.
Now they just have to worry about whether or not any part of their body touches the water on the boat ride to the land.
How much do you guys think Chael Sonnen is laughing at all this stuff? Going like, I told you guys for years about Brazil.
That was brutal, though. But yeah, man. Oh, we're just going to have to wait and see how this goes, because it's not starting too well. I mean, we were having all these issues leading up to it, and now we're here, and only time will tell how disastrous this Olympics is. And you've already heard my point of view. I think it's going to be an absolute disaster. Should have never been in Brazil. And no disrespect to anybody from Brazil, but they are not equipped to handle this in any way.
And I heard some experts or some dignitaries from the IOC being interviewed the previous night, Thursday night, on NBC when they were doing a preview of the opening ceremonies. And they said that even knowing everything they know now, they would still give it to Rio because they wanted it in South America, because no South American country's ever hosted it. And that's all fine and dandy. But when you give it to a city where over a third of the population is below the poverty level, and they don't have drinking water, they don't have this, they don't have anything going on there, really? What did you expect from it? I mean, I'm hoping for the best, but I'm preparing for the worst.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are, and, you know, like I said, only
time will
tell.
And by preparing for me, I mean sitting in front of my big screen and watching to see what happens. So.
Well, all I know is that I've heard the media already is outraged with what's going on down there, so I can't wait till
they don't have food. They're not feeding the media.
When
Heidi,
someone comes
Heidi,
back.
You're in the media. Have you heard this? It's supposedly at the media center, the reporters were in there. They have water, coffee, and tea. No juices, no other sodas, no food whatsoever, and the media is outraged. You know you can't not feed the media.
Yeah, I've seen some photos of the lines just to check in. It's more like a flash mob to check in. It's ridiculous how many people are standing in front of like one area waiting. And, you know, I think facilities-wise, they're just a little bit understaffed. Like, it just seems that things aren't really up to snuff and par what we're used to seeing, you know, for the Olympic Games. I mean, something at that level, you're expecting something just way off the charts, great and amazing and smooth, and we're just hearing every hiccup along the road and all the speed bumps that are occurring along with it.
What kind of water or what water they use to make the coffee? Like,
yeah, see, I don't think they're going to be bottling water. They're using bottled water.
I'm not doing anything but bottled water. I'm bringing down my own.
Yeah, it's bad.
Of course, you can't fly with it, so you might be in trouble there.
get it shipped, then you got to wait through customs. It's just it's not going to be fun for a lot of people. But like I said, we do have a lot to get to today, and I want to backtrack to last weekend. Frank, remember?
Do we really want to?
Yeah, I do. I got to eat some crow. Frank called, asked me, you said, do we have any chance of dogs, the live dogs coming out?
Always looking for the live dogs.
Always looking for them. And I was like, they're all dead dogs. They're all dead dogs. And I gave Tyron Woodley absolutely no chance in beating Robbie Lawler. Man, was I wrong. Wow. First round knockout. And then, wait, let's just forget about Robbie Lawler losing. Rose... We're talking great about her. She gets beat. Matt Brown coming back. Just a monster in there. And Jake Ellenberger, a guy who was going to get
fired.
He was basically fired by the UFC and then allowed back. It was a night of upsets.
I hate to do this, but Armando actually mentioned Matt Brown. So I got to give him a little bit of credit. He said Brown always comes to fight. So we are an honest show. I that might be the first time in knowing Armando for like 20 years that I've given him props, but he did mention Matt Brown. He didn't say he'd win, but he said he always comes to fight. So he does,
and it was a nice, fun back and forth going until it stopped, and there was the knockout. But yeah, Jake Ellenberger, props to him. Overall, really fun card, too, and we had talked about it beforehand that card had gotten no love leading up to it. Everybody was more worried about what was happening in 2 weeks and the Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, and everybody was still kind of hung over from the UFC 200. But 201 delivered, in my opinion.
Thank you for making me buy it, because I was one that wasn't going to at all.
I told you those are always the cards you want to watch.
And then those are
the ones you're going to get the unexpected. Heidi, what did you being in the media and you working with MMA all the time, you being around this, living it, did you give Woodley any chance, or am I in the wrong here in not thinking that a guy standing out over a year and a half would stand any chance against Robbie Lawler?
That's exactly what I thought, Phil. I thought that with Tyron Woodley having that lengthy hiatus and then going through just all the speed bumps he did to even get that shot, I thought maybe mentally, I thought maybe physically, he wouldn't be there. He wouldn't be on that same level with Robbie Lawler. And a lot of people were saying how Robbie Lawler had been through too many wars and that he had been hit too many times and he had all these 5-round fights that went the distance. And it's one of those things they talk about wear and tear, and then suddenly, you know, your guy's lights go out. Well, I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. I knew that Woodley had some power, and I knew that he was accurate, and I knew his striking would be on point. But to come out of the gate like that and land flush on Robbie Lawler, didn't see it coming.
Let me ask both of you this, because we know hindsight's 20/20, and you both kind of touched on it there. You mentioned, Heidi, all the things that Woodley had to go through to even get this championship fight. Do you think maybe because of that, he thought, if I don't do it now, they're never going to let me back here?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like you go back to Johnny Hendricks, who got skipped over. You know, you go back to a lot of people saying Carlos Condit should have had a rematch here. You know, if he had lost, that next step probably would have been Condit. Then you see this GSP's coming back, him waiting in the wings for how long, and other guys like Nick Diaz just off suspension. So you never know who of that group is going to come up.
And Conor McGregor, who won't fight anybody in his weight class.
Let's face it, 145 is really hard for him.
There's one thing that I hated, and I was very upset at the end of the night. Can any of you guess what that would be?
Would that be Woodley in a post-fight interview?
No, that would not.
Okay, because that bothered me a little bit with the Stephen Thompson.
Yeah, okay, no, that was, you know what, you're right. But no, I'm talking about performance of the night.
Who got? I honestly didn't pay attention to that. I did not.
Rose and what's her name?
Carolina.
Yeah, thank you. Because I am not going to attempt to say that name. They got fight of the night. Them two. They got their performance of the night. When? Come on, Eric Perez. Come on, Francisco Rivera tore the house down.
Fun fight, absolutely.
Come on.
I thought every fight was really entertaining. I was pleasantly surprised with UFC 201. Overall, great card. Some quick, really, before we go to break, because we do have to. We've been running up against the clock. We always kind of get off track here. But some fight announcements were just announced recently. And Chris Cyborg, coming back to the UFC. She'll be taking on Lena Landsberg. Henan Barrow against Felipe Nova. Bigfoot Silva against Roy Nelson. And on the undercard prelims of that one, the fight pass prelims, Eric Silva against Brandon Thatch. Oh. That's a fun fight. Oh, yeah. And look what they are doing with fight pass. I mean, you got Cub Swanson and Kawajiri tonight on fight pass. And that's a main event and on a lot of these smaller cards. So I'm looking forward to that one. Also, Ian McCall, we talked about him last week. He got his fight scratched for Justin against Scoggins. Paid. Well, now he's going to take on Ray Borg at UFC 203. And another big one. Now, it hasn't been officially announced by the UFC, but Michael Bisping did say it on his Sirius XM radio show that at UFC 204 in Manchester, England, he will be taking on Dan Henderson.
Come on, nothing about El Cucuy? Come on.
Yeah, that's another big fight that was.
I hope that's another one.
We don't know if it's going to happen.
And Tony Ferguson.
Tony Ferguson, the boogeyman against Rafael Dos Anjos. Great fight. Two top 155ers right there. Really looking forward to that if it comes in. But the biggest rumored fight all week, Heidi just mentioned it. She just touched on it by just saying that name. George St. Pierre. The possibility. Now, you know, this comes up every couple of months. George St. Pierre is coming back. But now it looks more and more likely that Tyron Woodley, George St. Pierre, may be happening. And the Vegas books have already placed GSP as the odds-on favorite. Do you think that... I mean,
how?
Tyron Woodley, I'm talking no love. I gave him no love last week. Most of the media gave him no love. And now they're giving him no love off a guy who hasn't fought in almost 3 years.
But remember this, the Vegas book's job is to try to get action on both sides to make sure that they make a profit from it. I think they're trying to get into the head of the people betting the fight because of GSP being the known name. You say, how does that one happen? I say, how is Conor McGregor once again the favorite over Nate Diaz?
Yeah.
Well said.
That's beyond me.
Because they try to go where the people are going to bet the money, even if they think it's the wrong side. The book doesn't always say we think this guy's going to win. We say if we say this guy's going to win, we can make money on it.
How'd you like Monday, man? #out of nowhere, Brock Lesnar gets.
And on that note, we have to take a break here. We have to step aside. It is the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Heidi Fang. She's fine. Devine. We'll be back with more weekend kickoff. Stick around.